The beginning of today's sermon did not record, and so I want to recap before we get into what did record. Today's is Father's Day sermon, and so I start off with a question. When you think of manliness, what do you think of? Maybe it's tools, hunting, fishing, camping, dirty hands, beards, plaid. I don't know what you think of. But what I want to know personally is, what does God say is manly? I know growing up we heard sayings of boys and what boys are made of and what girls are made of. And the boy one went like this. Snips and snails and puppy dog tails, that's what little boys are made of. Snips. What are snips?
I looked it up. The internet barely even knows what it is. Something about cuts and bruises, I think, is what it kind of defined it as, a snip as, and snails. We kind of know what those are, but what in the world does puppy dog tails have to do with boys? I don't know. Like, they like dogs, man's best friend. I don't know. So we have heard that growing up, maybe, a cute little poem. The girl one makes more sense than the boy one does, but we have these ideas and these pictures of manliness. And this week I was working through and thinking about, what does it mean to be manly in God's eyes? I want to know what God says is manliness. I don't really care what the world says is manliness. I want to know God's vision of what it means to be a man. And so there's many passages throughout Scripture. We'll cover several today. But most passages deal with Christians in general, not just particularly man or fatherhood or being a husband. There are several that are pointed in that way, and we actually covered one last year. And so this year I want to look at one that to me jumps out of the page at me because of the wording that's used. But I also want to say to you women, this is not just talking about men. This is talking about all believers. But the wording in it challenges me as a man, and it gives me five commands or challenges that I should follow as a man. And really, in general, as believers, five commands that we should have that I believe point to what it is to be a Christian and what it means to be a godly man, what it means to be manly. And so today I want to read with you, 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14, and you'll see why it kind of jumps out at the page at me, and I'll give you a kind of a breakdown of why it is actually pertaining to the whole church, but then we'll start breaking down those five commands as we look at these in this passage. It says this in verse 13, be alert, stand firm in the faith, act like a man. Be strong. Your every action must be done with love. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'll challenge us today. I pray that you'll equip us today. I pray that, Lord, you will indeed be glorified by our conversation, by us getting into your word. Lord, that our hearts and our minds will be open to you, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us, that not only will you challenge us, but that you will equip us to follow you. I thank you for these commands. Help us to take them to heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The wording in the middle of this says, act like a man. And there's many different sayings that are out there, and this would be kind of a saying that maybe would be kind of familiar to the culture, and I think you kind of understand what it means to act like a man, but it's kind of like saying this, man up, grow up. And so this act like a man isn't specifically speaking to only men. It's saying to all Christians, it's time to man up. It's time to grow up. It's time to do what's right. And so whether young or old, men or women, this is in particular talking to all believers, talking about maturity and courage. And so just throw that out there behind the definition of what this act like a man is talking about. But as a father, as a man, when I read it, it kind of hits even more home because of the wording. And so then I go, well, if I'm seeing this act like a man talking about maturity and courage, and God uses the word, and actually literally it should be written act like a man, I know several translations actually take it and they put be courageous or something like that, but the literal wording is act like a man. And so when I read that, I go, okay, as a father, as a man, what in the world is God calling me to do here? And so five commands. The first one starts right there in verse 13 as it says, be alert. Men, we are called to be men that are alert. Men of alertness. What does it mean to be alert? What comes to mind when you think of being alert? Is it being on guard? Is it being watchful? Is it being wide awake and aware of what's going on? At the beginning of the Purdue baseball season, we went to a game with some friends, and there was a foul ball that got hit. And this, it was a blast. We were down the third baseline, and this ball's coming so fast that we really had no time to react except for kind of try to duck. And it nailed the hand beam, the handrail right in front of us, and put a giant mark on it. But it was pretty fast. All of us were just like kind of trying to dive out of the way. But we got saved by this handrail, or we would have been in some pain because it was heading towards the entire row. But I'll tell you what, after that happened, we were alert. We were wide awake. There was no more talking about things. It's like, okay, eyes on the game. Right? There's signs and warnings everywhere saying, keep your eyes on the game. Bats and balls may enter the stands. They were. And so we were wide awake. And sometimes it takes something like that to shake us up and wake us up. But Scripture says here that we should have an alert attitude as men. I take that challenge on and I say, okay, as a man, as a dad, as a husband, am I aware of what's going on in my home? Am I alert of what's going on in my home? And I want to take it this way. Spiritually, do I know where my children are spiritually? Do I know what my wife needs spiritually? Why do I need to be alert? Why do I need to be aware? You see, Satan is roaming around looking to devour families, looking to devour kids, to take their attention, to take our attention off where it should be, to focus somewhere else. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Anyone. Whether that's your wife, whether that's you, whether that's your children. And so this alertness, the seriousness that we are called to have, is there's this warning because Satan is looking to devour, to keep us away from God. So we should be alert. Another reason we should be alert, Jesus points to the fact in Matthew 24, verses 43 through 44, that time is limited. Time is limited. He says this, but know this. If the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he would have stayed alert and not let his house be broken into. This is why you also must be ready because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You see, we do not have forever. Eternity here on earth. Time is limited here on earth. And dads, time is limited with our children in our home. Time is limited. When we hear a 50-year anniversary, that is a huge accomplishment in marriage. When we may have 18 years, 19 years, 20 years with our kid in the home, depending on whether they go away for college or come back for college or whatever. But those 20 years, those 50 years, and let's say you hit 60 years. Let's say you hit 65 years of marriage. Maybe you're lucky and you hit 75 years of marriage. I rarely to never hear of that because typically both people would be in their 90-somethings if that happened. But that time, by comparison to eternity, is just a speck. And so we do not have forever, and so we need to be aware. We need to be alert of where our families are spiritually, and as fathers, be leading in the homes. You see, one of these two will be true of us. We will either be purposefully alert or we will be distracted and reactionary. We will either be purposefully alert or distracted and reactionary. Whatever's going on in life, if something starts to fall apart, then we react to that, but most of the time we're distracted and we have no idea where our family is spiritually. Or ourselves even, we're so distracted we're not alert and Satan's tearing apart our life. And so I take that as a challenge. Many times we are so focused on physical protection and physical growth that we forget to focus on spiritual protection and spiritual growth, discipleship. And so, fathers, I want to encourage us in our alertness that we're called to have, in this on guard attitude, in this being serious attitude, that we will purposefully engage our families for Christ. That we will not be distracted, but we will be on guard because time is limited and Satan is prowling. Second command here in 1 Corinthians, after it says be alert, it says stand firm in the faith. We are called to be men of firm foundations, to stand firm in the faith. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 through 11 says this, "For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building," speaking of the church, speaking of us, "according to God's grace that was given to me." And he says, Paul here says, "I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and there has been another that has built onto that." And so in their lives, there has been pouring on the foundation of Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord was set as Paul witnessed to them and they accepted Jesus Christ. And then the teaching continued. And so building continued in their lives. And it says this, after the building continued, it says, "But each one must be careful how he builds on it. Be careful on that building, for no one can lay any other foundation than that what has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ." Do we have a foundation of Jesus Christ in our homes? Do we stand on Him personally? Is our family built on Jesus, His teachings, His Word? Do we have that foundation? You may ask, well, how do I know whether I have a godly foundation as Jesus Christ as the foundation or whether I have a worldly foundation where I'm following after the world and everything that we do is focused on that? Let me ask you this. Think about your discussions. Think about your conversations. Think about your time. Think about your resources. Think about your energy. What is your time, your discussions, your resources, your energy? What is that directed most at? That will tell you what your foundation is as a family. And as a father, as a husband, as a man, we are called to, and as Christians, we are called to have Jesus Christ as the foundation in our homes. See, Jesus says it this way in Matthew 7:24. He says, "Therefore," and telling a parable here, "therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who builds his house on the rock." And in this parable, that we sung a song about this as kids, the wise man builds his house upon the rock, the foolish man builds his house upon the sands. In this parable, there is one who builds his life upon God, Jesus, and His Word, and there is another who builds it on, well, actually hears the Word and then doesn't respond, doesn't do anything with the Word. That's the parable. And so there's a breakdown. Both heard the Word. One responded to it in their life, building their foundation on it. Another heard the Word and did nothing with it. They heard it and went on with their life. continue to build their lives on something else. And that parable points to the fact that when life hits, when things get hard, when storms come, one will stand firm because their foundation is on Jesus Christ and they follow Him. In the other one, their life will fall apart because even though they heard the word, they never responded to the word. And it was not the foundation of their life, was not the foundation of their home when life got hard. And so I have to ask myself, what am I built on? What is my family built on? What is my home built on? And Jesus points to the fact that the proof of that foundation is acting on God's word. You see that in verse 24 there? Everyone who hears these words of mine, he doesn't stop there, and acts on them. That's the proof of the foundation. Heard the word and acted on it. Number three challenge that we have, or command we have in 1 Corinthians verse 13 is this, that we are called to be men of maturity. When it says act like men, it's talking about maturity or courage. It's like saying man up. It's like saying step up to the plate. Or one of my favorite quotes from Sandlot, base up, blockhead. That's what it's calling us to do. Come on, let's man up, let's step up to the plate, let's base up, come on. And so this command is actually a challenge also in Hebrews of maturity, ongoing growth in our relationship with God, ongoing reactions to His Word, and courage in response to His Word. In Hebrews, it actually compares it to milk versus real food. If I told you, for the rest of your life, you are going to survive on milk. How many of you would volunteer for that? Not many of us. Steak or milk? Steak. Well, me. Burgers or milk? Burgers. I don't want my burger blend up in a milkshake or anything like that. That's gross. And so Hebrews says it this way and actually calls people that aren't continuing to develop lazy. These are God's words, not mine. Babies and lazy are the words that are used here. It says this in verses 11 going through 6:1. This is Hebrews 5, 11 through 6:1. We have a great deal to say about this, and it's difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. They had heard how they were saved. They had known the gospel message, and they're then falling back into ritualistic teaching of following laws to be saved. And so they're being challenged here, and it says this. You need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's word, God's revelation. Again, you need milk, not solid food. That's they're hearing that milk over instead of solid food. In verse 13 it says, not everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with a message about righteousness, because he is an infant. See those two words for us if we don't ever step past the beginning teaching of God's word? Lazy. Infants. We are called to be maturing. We are called to step up. We are called to courageously act upon the Word of God. Not to stay at the basic teachings over and over and over. Verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. See that description there? Solid food is for mature, those who are maturing, those who have learned how to distinguish what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. Verse 1 of chapter 6, therefore, leaving the elementary message about the Messiah, not saying let it go, but come on, let's continue to move. Let's continue to grow. Let's continue to go. It says, let us go on. Let's go on to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from good works, faith in God. And it goes on and lists more of those foundational beliefs that they were continuing to struggle with. The challenge here is to be maturing believers, maturing men, and then to act upon that maturity as we grow to know God more, to respond in action to that. Like the foundation of faith was action-based, the maturing is action-based, of being courageously responding to God's word in action by following Him. Two aspects of this act like men are the maturing and the courageous. I want to talk about those for a second. The maturing is this. It's reading God's word. It's hearing God's word. It's responding to God's word and repeating it. Continuing to do this over and over and over so that we may act out our faith. Maturing in our foundation. Colossians 1, 9 through 10 and then verse 28 says this. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge, so knowing more, being filled more and more and more of the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So not only knowing God's will, but understanding God more through His word. It says this in verse 10, so that you may walk. The knowledge is growing, the understanding is growing, so that you may do it. Walk in it. Mature in it. Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. And so this maturing knowledge and this bearing fruit walk hand in hand. And that's what we are called to do, as we are called to act like men or mature in our faith, to man up, to step up to the plate. And then the courageous response is this. Second aspect of this acting like men, not only maturing, but we are courageously, boldly following God. There are times when we will come to a crisis of belief. As we read God's word and He challenges us, we will go, wow, that's what God's calling me to do? I'm not sure I want to do that, or I'm not sure I can do that, or I'm not sure how to do that. And so there's this crisis of belief. If God's called me to do that, I see it in the word. Now I have to courageously follow Him. Go, okay, that's God's call. I'm going to follow Him because He is Lord. I'm going to be courageous in Him. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4 says, when I am afraid. You notice the psalmist points out he's afraid first. When I am afraid. So he says that, and then he says, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. And then he says, after he's saying, okay, I'm afraid, but I'm going to trust in God, then his response is this. And this is what we can boldly say, this courageous response of saying, okay, I'm hearing God's word, I see His word, I praise Him for His response and His word, I'm trusting in God, even though I'm afraid. He says, I will not fear. I will not fear. I will be courageous. I will not fear. I'm trusting in God. What can man do to me? That's a courageous response. Brothers, sisters, there will be times in each and every one of our lives as we get into God's word that we will be challenged with God's word, and we will be fearful to respond. And God is saying, man up. Be courageous. Base up, blockhead. Follow me. That's it. And so that response it's hard to do because we are, like the psalmist, afraid to do it. But then we trust in Him and see His word, we can respond, I will not fear. I will not fear. Fourth, and these last two are pretty quick. Fourth is this, that we are called to be men of strength. This is not that conversation that your kids have in the front yard or background or on the playground where they said, my dad can beat up your dad. Okay? That's not that kind of response. I've heard that. My dad can do this, that, whatever. This is not that. But this is called to be strong in the Lord. You see, there are all sorts of different strengths available in this world, but we are called to be strong in the Lord. And many times, most of the time, if not all the time, that's to admit our weaknesses and point to His strength. You see, 2 Corinthians, verse 12, 9 through 10 says this. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. When we realize our inability, when we realize God's ability, that's when power is perfected. When we realize that and we rely on Him. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weakness, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weakness, insult, catastrophe, persecution, and in pressures because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. You see, I think some of the most honest conversations and the most beneficial conversations have been times where I was weak with my kids. And I told them, you know what? Daddy is weak in this area. Daddy struggles in this area. And I want you to know that I can only respond the right way because of God's work in me. And when I respond the wrong way, I admit my weakness and I say, I did wrong. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for God's forgiveness. He is my only hope. He is the one who is all powerful. He is my strength. And that conversation goes so far. And so when we admit our weakness and we can, as men, stand strong in the Lord, then we can say like the psalmist does in Psalm 18, 1 through 2, as he says this, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, my strength. You see, what he doesn't say is he doesn't say, I love you, Lord, I am strong. I am mighty. He says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The psalmist knows that the Lord is his strength. And then he goes on and not only stops there, but he says, the Lord is my rock. He doesn't say the Lord makes me a rock. He says, the Lord is my rock. He says, my fortress. He doesn't say the Lord makes me a fortress. He says, the Lord is my fortress. My deliverer, my God, my mountain where I seek refuge. He doesn't say, God makes me a strong mountain. He says, the Lord is my mountain where I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Do we realize that our strength comes from the Lord, and He is the one who is strong? Admit our weaknesses. Rely on God's strength. And lastly, we are called to be men of love. And I'm not going to break this entire thing down because we did an entire sermon series on this, but I just want to remind us as fathers to say, am I a man of love? As I'm called to here in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 16. Your every action, not some actions, your every action must be done with love. Church, that's a call for all of us. Our every action must be done in love. And so when we are called to act in love, then we also have to say, what is love? What is love? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, the beginning of 8 says this, and we're going to end this way. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, and does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Men, believers, when we are called to love, this is the description of it. And so, like Dennis challenged you earlier to write something about your father and say, hey, am I living this out? Look at this and go, am I living this out? Am I patient, kind? Go on and on and on. So, fathers, I challenge myself and I challenge you to ask yourself, do these describe you? Are you a man of alertness? A man with a firm foundation? A man that is maturing, or a man of maturity? Are you a man of strength who finds your strength in the Lord? Are you a man of love? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the challenges from your word. I pray that you will help us to turn to you, to follow you in this response, Lord, that we will have these as characteristics of our life, that we will heed these commands following you, Lord. Lord, that we will be alert in our homes, that we will have the foundation of you, Jesus Christ, in our homes, that we will be maturing in you, men of maturity. Lord, that we will find our strength in you, and that we will show your love in our families. We pray this in your name, Jesus, because you are our only hope to live this out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.